Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
So, you know, a while ago, I taught a message about the ark. It wasn't that long ago, and I think it was filming for you guys, right? So that is online, and that's definitely a listen to more than once kind of message. You know, in the Bible, there's symbolic things in the Bible, and every single account you read about, especially, you know, you see in the Old Testament, is really evident, is symbolic of Jesus, okay? It doesn't mean they're not true historically, but they're all symbolic of Jesus also. I didn't share the reference at the time, but I believe it's in Exodus 34, perhaps. I think it's 34. God even was speaking to Moses in symbol. And it was really evident. He was talking to Moses about the second covenant, and he told Moses that according to the mouth of these words, I've made a covenant with you. And even though God really wasn't making a second covenant right then and there in Exodus, he was speaking to Moses, and a sort of a role play happened of the new covenant, and God said, according to the mouth of these words. In other words, don't just look at the words, Moses, the mouth of these words. In other words, what these words are saying. Okay, and the ark message is a good example of that. You could say, according to the mouth of those words, we are reading about baptism. If you were just to read the words, you'd be reading about Noah and the ark. But according to the mouth of those words, there's different mouths to the things that God says. And again, it doesn't mean that, it's not a private interpretation. I'm not saying that like every time you read it, you can just read it anew and whatever it means to you that day is what God's speaking to you. That's not right. Don't let people tell you that whatever you want to gather from what a scripture is saying is okay. Or don't buy this either. God won't do this, okay? God will not take a scripture and sort of like show you something that's like sort of not really what it means, but it's like almost like a metaphor for your situation. And we take it metaphorically, like, oh, King Ahab went to Elijah, and Elijah said this, and you're reading, and you're like, oh, it's kind of like that, my boss said that to me, sort of. And I don't know if you've ever read the Bible like that before, but we were trained to read the Bible that way, that you're going to read the Bible and just get sort of a metaphor or like some meaning out of it that's for your situation. Please, just when you read the Bible, just say, Lord, what does it mean? Why'd you write it? It should mean the same thing to all of us. If what you're taking out of Scripture is not something that could any believer can take out of it, then you're really not seeing the meaning of that scripture, okay? There's a lot of times you may be reading the Bible and God may put something on your heart, but that's not Him trying to reveal that scripture in a certain light. That's really not in context, but it's like, you know, private interpretation. That's not what we're doing. I'm just trying to show you what God intended when He wrote these things, okay? With the ark, there's a few important things I want to go over first with this. Okay, I want to get to Joshua, but we'll see. The flood came, right? We know the ark is a picture of the body of Christ, and Noah is a picture of Jesus, and he's the builder of the ark, which Jesus is the builder of the body and that whole deal. We also know that really important scripture was that in the Bible, God records the flood coming before they actually went into the ark, okay? And that was important. The flood came first in sequence, and then they went into the ark. The Bible says that we're all baptized into one body. Okay? This is going to be real teachy. I don't know how else to put that. This is going to be real teachy. This is not going to be a hoot and holler message. I just want to be able to, you know, there are definitely messages that are just meant to encourage you tonight. All right? And there are also things where, but God's ultimate objective, though, is not that you just be encouraged for a night with something. God's ultimate objective is that you actually know for yourself truths. And then, you know, for the rest of your life, you can be able to be established in things. So the floodwaters came first, then Noah and his house went into the ark. And what we're saying from that is that the Holy Spirit came and baptized us, and that's how we were built into the ark. Okay, that's how we became a part of the household of God. The mountains, then, we were reading, were underneath the ark after the baptism. Where after we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, now we have the mountains underneath us. I don't know if you guys kind of remember back to what we were teaching about this, but the mountains is talking about heaven. And we're talking about how heaven now, inside of us, the high heavens, the Bible says the top of the mountains, or in other words, the top of the heavens, were now covered up after the flood came. All right, and what that means is the flood is the Holy Spirit, and after the flood came, after the Holy Spirit was given to us, after we received the Holy Spirit, right after that, it said that now the mountains are now covered up, and now the top of the heavens, in other words, that now the high heavens are now under all the heavens, and now they're covered up with something. And we kept reading, and it said that the ark was on top of the mountains. Okay? Again, this is not something you're going to get all in one shot, all right? So please don't feel like, oh, I didn't get all that. You just got to listen to the message again. The top of the mountains, it says, were covered after the flood came. That's the important part. That means that the heavens, the high heavens, top of the mountain would mean top of the heavens, right? Mountain or hill always means heavens. This is why we're called a city on top of a hill. Because literally, us as a body, as a city, we are all of us on top of a hill right now. Okay? It's literal. So the top of the mountains were covered up with something now after the flood came. All that means is that the top, the high heavens now, which are now under all the heavens, because they came down. And when the Holy Spirit came down, that's the high heavens being brought down to us. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit, which I'm not going to explain, you know, that in depth. But we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That just means you received the Holy Spirit for the first time. And now the highest heavens now are now under all the heavens. And they're covered up with something. And when we kept reading, it says that the ark rested on top of the mountains. Okay? We're the ark. The ark rests on top of the mountains. The mountains of the heavens, the ark is the body of Christ. This, just so you know, if you want a verse for this, Peter referred to the same symbolism that I'm referring to right now. I really enjoy the fact that you have New Testament writers that you kind of feel like you have a little backup, because I really don't believe most people would even believe what I'm saying, that God actually meant to write about the baptism of the Holy Spirit when he wrote about the ark. I believe that most people, when they hear me say things like this, because they haven't gone through the same process I have, it, like little by little, the Lord teaching you, I believe that most people would hear me say this and feel that this is sort of my slant on what the ark is about. But I'm telling you, this is like what God meant when he had Moses pen Genesis, okay? He meant us to see this. And I'll give you a verse later on if you'd like, where Peter refers to the flood and says that that's baptism, which now saves us, okay? So again, you just feel like kind of like you have a little backup there. But anyway, the important thing I want to point out though here is that it says that it rained. Said that the fountains of the great deep were open and it rained. It rained down this flood. Rained down. And after it rained down, after it says the flood came, again, the heavens were under the ark. In other words, you guys follow me with that, right? The mountains were underneath the ark now. And this is important. It said that God stopped the rain after that. Okay, now, I want to open this up. You may feel weird, but I would rather you ask a question. Before we go on, is there anything that's a little bit like a specific thing that you know that's unclear out of what I just said? That you just, if you want to ask for clarification on any specific thing, just wave at me if that's you. Was there a certain part? If it's just kind of in general, you just need more understanding about it, that's okay. You listen to the message. But is there a certain part that you're like, what did you mean when you said this? Okay. All right, so I'm going to take that as a good to go then. Okay, so God rained down the flood, and that's the Holy Spirit. The fountains of the great deep, it says first, were opened, and then it rained. Now, I believe, in literal form, in the actual flood, the fountains of the great deep is talking about from under the earth. Water came up from under the earth, and also from heaven. But it doesn't say that, okay? So when you're reading it symbolically, you have to read everything symbolically, therefore. When it says the fountains of the great deep were opened, that I have a little bit of unsurety about, but that it seems to be something in regards to something in heaven, okay, opened up. I believe almost like Jesus' belly. But that's a side note right now. This is all it says. The fountains of the great deep were open, and it rained on the earth. And there was a flood, therefore, on the earth. That's like, that started in Acts 2. where the Holy Spirit was poured out. Joel 2 actually explains that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And it says it rained on the earth, okay? 40 days, 40 nights, that whole thing, right? I'm not sure about the word 40 days and 40 nights, what that's symbolic of, but it's important that we know that it rained, okay? When it says that it rained this flood on the earth, rain is something that comes from heaven, okay? Rain doesn't always mean blessing. Rain many times can be a curse, okay? But rain just means it came from heaven, all right? That's very important. This is why the Bible says it rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. That wasn't blessing, right? We know that. It rained, though, fire and brimstone, that God opened heaven and rained out fire and brimstone to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a lot more verses that talk about rain. It rained manna. Okay, rain isn't always talking about little water droplets. It literally says it rained manna down on the people, okay? Rain is like something that's coming from heaven down to earth, okay? Rain. Again, the raining, why would God say it rained manna? It rained fire and brimstone. All these things were things that God gave out of heaven to earth. And the flood initially, it rained. Again, just read the chapters, Genesis 6, 7, 8. You'll see all this there. But God opened the fountains of the great deep, which, I'm a little unsure about what that means, but that can, I'm pretty convinced that's talking about the belly of Jesus, okay? That, in other words, when he poured out his Spirit, obviously, the Holy Spirit is in Christ right now, and that's the great deep is also used for inside of our body, okay? The deep. Inside of our body is called the great deep also, lots of times. Also underneath the earth is the great deep, but also in our bodies is also called the great deep. So when it says the fountains of the great deep were opened, I suspect it would be talking about Jesus, but that's a side note. Point is, though, after the fountains of the great deep were opened, it says that it rained down this flood, which is the Holy Spirit. Again, you know what, let me get the verse for you real quick. So I want you to see this for yourself. Let's see, let's check 1 Peter. And this is going to show us that the ark, okay, verse 20, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to go through this real quick. Not my point to, you know, make a pit stop here necessarily, but I just want to show you this, that, again, I'm not interested in showing you my slant on things, okay? Now, I could bring you to a slew of verses, as I normally say, to prove this to you further, but I just want us to actually see from Scripture, so if somebody asks you about this whole ark deal, the flood being baptism, the Noah and his household were literally, in symbol, they were literally baptized, okay, in the water, and after the baptism came, remember, it accounts for the flood first, and then they went into the ark. That's the Bible says that we were all baptized into one body. Let's say this, Noah and his household were all flooded into one ark. Okay, the flood came first and then they went into the ark. Not obviously literally, historically, but God accounts for it in that sequence. It says, and the flood waters were upon the earth, ... And Noah and his household went into the ark. It says that. Okay, we read that in that message, okay? The flood came first in the verses, in the sequence, and then they went into the ark. That's not a mistake, okay? This will show us here, the flood water is baptism. It's how we got saved. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a second occurrence. It never was. We made that up along the way. Somewhere along the way, that started a trend, and we picked that up as the church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not when the manifestation starts coming out of you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the day that you got saved. If you're born again, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? That manifestation, you can see manifestation in your life, that will happen often in your life as a believer. You bear fruit. You know, God's appointed you that you would bear fruit, that your fruit would remain. That's great, but that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians get saved and they see really no fruit virtually. See no fruit. I mean, they're bearing fruit to an extent, but they see no fruit virtually. And they go to a service and they get prayed for and they start seeing fruit. And then they say, oh, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, you got a clue or you got prayed for in some kind of way, and fruit started shooting up, but that had nothing to do with a second occurrence. That will happen often for you as a believer. You have times where you understand things, you're going to see more fruit. You weren't baptized. Look at the verse. Just look at halfway through. Well, let's read the whole thing, which sometimes we're disobedient. It's in the middle of a sentence, but it says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Notice that, saved by water. Now, obviously, you know he's speaking symbolically, because nobody was saved by the flood. They were saved by the water. It didn't say they were saved from the water. Let's talk about Noah and the ark, right? The ark saved them, right, from the water. He didn't say that. He said the water saved them. Just look at that verse for yourself, right at the end of verse 20. They were saved by the water, it says. Now, that's not true historically, right, if you're just going to read the account. But it's true if you read it symbolically, the way that he's preaching here. It's a mouth, okay? There are many different mouths that you can read scripture through, okay? I've said this so many times, you could read that same account that we're talking about right now, and it's also a full account of end time judgment and how that's going to happen, okay? In other words, when the earth will be destroyed and stuff. They were saved by water. I want to linger there for a second because that's like so important. They were saved by the water. Not from the water, by the water, okay? And that's an accurate translation. The like figure. You see the word figure? Can you click verse 21? And can you then go to, let's see, New King James, maybe? Try New King James. Oh, just past it. There you go. Antitype. An antitype. A parallel. That's talking about a symbol. Antitype. Okay, you can go back to King James now. Thank you. Okay, antitype. A figure. What's he talking about? That's a fancy word for this is symbolic. Okay? The like figure, whereunto... So in other words, it's a figure of what? Baptism doth also now save us. Look, they were saved by the flood, which is a figure of baptism, which does now save us. Baptism never ever was a second occurrence. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a fancy word to say I just got saved by the Holy Spirit. Again, you know I'm not lying when I say I got verses for this, okay? If you want more verses on that, I have a lot. You could read Romans 6, and it talks about being dead to sin happened when you were baptized, okay? Your cleansing of sin happened when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? Every single Christian is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lots of them don't realize it until they start bearing fruit, and then they call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism doth now save us. No, there are not different kinds of baptism. Because people say, no, he's talking about a different kind of baptism. No, the Bible says there is one baptism. That's like 2 Corinthians chapter 6 or so. One baptism, the Bible says. There's only one baptism. One baptism. And that is what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The real baptism is not being baptized in water. That means nothing except that you remove dirt from your flesh when you went under the water. I mean, literally, like it bathed you. That's all that happened. Baptism does now save you. Okay, so everyone's with me on that, right? That we were saved, in other words, by baptism, this says. But this says that Noah... while the ark was being prepared, where a few, that is eight souls, the number eight I'm sure is symbolic, that's why he makes a point, I'm not going to preach on that, I don't know. But he says eight souls specifically, the number eight, because numbers mean stuff, but eight souls were saved by the water. Okay, so not saved by the bell, that's what I kind of heard when I read that. But they were saved by the water, and it's really important that we know that. And it says this is a figure of baptism which now saves us, okay? So all I'm showing you that, I'm just showing you that so you understand that this is not a slant I'm having on the ark and all of that jazz. This is something that is biblical, okay? Again, I don't want you to take my word for it that something is biblical and it's not a slant. I want you to see it from Scripture, okay? This is why if you have a question, I want you to ask, okay? Who has a question so far? Anybody have a question at all, okay? About anything I just said? And that's okay if you don't. I'll keep going. Cool? Okay, so we'll keep going. So let's look real quick at a different verse here. Let me just go back. Okay. We're going to read something in Joshua. Let's go to Joshua 3 real quick. Joshua 3. Okay, I'm going to jump down to verse 13 or so. 13. Okay. Let me go back to the ark deal and then we'll jump to Joshua. The only reason why I'm mentioning the ark really is actually just to prepare for reading this, okay? Again, I want us to understand this. So, that's God's main objective. The ark was flooded, baptized, you could say, right? The ark, who is the ark? Us, right? Our bodies, specifically. When we're called the body of Christ, that's not a metaphor, okay? The body of Christ. Your spirit is not the body of Christ, okay? Your body is Christ's, hence the body of Christ. Okay, we get that right? I know we say the body of Christ, like it means Christians. No, it's actually talking about your body. The body of Christ. It's Christ's body. Your spirit is not the body of Christ. Your spirit's like the spirit of Christ, okay? The body of Christ, okay? The ark is the body of Christ. When we say we are all members of his body, Literally, like, that's a member of his body. This is his body. That's another part of his body, another part of his body. It doesn't mean you're the hand and you're the foot. And it's not, Paul just talks about that in like a metaphor. But literally, we're the body of Christ. The ark is, collectively, all of our bodies put together makes up the ark. Including Christ's body right now. He's the head of the body. He's in charge of the body. Okay? His glorified body right now is the head of the body. Okay? So Noah, our Savior, Jesus, Noah, the builder, the one that brought us all into to become part of his body, to be a house for his same spirit. Okay? All of us are a house for the Spirit of God along with Christ. All of us now are part of the body of Christ. He's the first body of Christ. In other words, he was the first of the body, and now we also. Alright? All of our bodies, including Christ's, make up the ark. This is why the Bible says Noah, after when the flood came, Noah and his household all went into the ark. We are many abodes in the same household. I mentioned this last time. We're all many mansions in the same household. Okay? The word mansion in the Bible is just talking about an abode, a dwelling place. We're all many dwelling places in the same household. Now watch this, because we are going to get to some more points here. When God sent the flood waters down, there was a raining, right? A raining. That's talking, I mean, that came from heaven. It says, literally, it says the heavens were open. The heavens were opened, it says. Check this out. Listen to this. This says it in the account of Genesis. The heavens were opened, and it rained on the earth, and it flooded. And then Noah and his household got built up into an ark. They were all now a body for this flood. The flood came into the ark. I'm speaking symbolically, right? The flood, the Holy Spirit, came down out of heaven. The heavens were open. The Holy Spirit came down, indwelt Noah and his household now. Now they're all the same body now. They're all members of the same ark. And now the ark has the heavens underneath it now. The mountains are underneath it now. The ark rests upon the mountains now. Now the mountains, the high mountains are not just above us. Now they came down by the Holy Spirit. Now they indwell the ark, Noah and his household. The flood indwells Noah. The flood indwells his household. Now we make up one ark. Now we have the high heavens, the top of the mountains underneath us. They're covered up right now. And they do manifest, because it does end up saying in the account of Noah that the tops of the mountains in whatever month it was, the eighth month or whatever it was, the tops of the mountains, the high mountains were seen. They were manifest, okay? That does happen. The high mountains are covered up when you first get saved. Okay? There doesn't have to be any manifestation to know that you're saved. Right? There doesn't have to be no speaking in tongues. There needs to be no manifestation to be saved, okay? But what happened was the high mountains are now covered up. But it says in the eighth month or whatever month it was, which again is symbolic, it said the tops of the mountains, the high mountains were seen. That's the manifestation. Now that's how Christianity works. You receive the high mountains, the Holy Spirit, the flood into you. It's covered up initially, but then it's manifest and it's seen. Now watch this. Before that even happens though, after God released out of the heavens, His high mountains, He released out of the heavens. His floodwaters, He released out of the heavens. And we became the household of God. When that happened, it said the rain stopped. God shut the heavens above us. And the rain stopped. Now watch this. After it says that, right, you can keep reading on. And there's more to say about this. But it said the heavens were shut up, okay? That God shut up the heavens and there was no more rain. Now this is where we're going to get into this right now, okay? We're doing pretty good on time. This is where we're going to get into this. When you get saved, and we know this point, okay? But just don't shrug this off just yet. God closes off heavens above you, from you now, okay? To never again receive from above you. You will never again receive from above you. Once God showers down His flood on you, which He started doing in Acts 2. Okay, this isn't an Old Testament thing. Old Testament saints weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? It's just an important point. But starting Acts 2, when God released the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us, this baptism is a one-time thing, right? After that happens, the Bible says the rain will stop. God will not send it down from heaven anymore. You'll never receive something from God outside of you into you. You'll never receive something from God from the heavens down to you ever again, okay? It's never like that. If you keep on reading the account of Noah, what happens now? Well, now we got the high heavens, the top of the mountains, the high mountains. We got the high mountains underneath us now. It's right here now. So the heavens don't need to come down anymore. We already have all the high heavens in us. And all that happens now, it says that obviously as we understand the Lord, the top of the mountains are seen. Okay? This is all in that account. I believe that's Genesis 8. But the tops of the mountains are seen. That word seen is literally manifest. It's made visible. That's what's happening to us as believers. We are reaping the fruit now. This is very, very important. Wait a second for this. We're now reaping the fruit of what was once sown inside of us. Okay? All this makes sense so far? No more rain. The rain stopped in the account of Noah. Read the account. It's a detailed account. Everything in the account of Noah is that God put every single word there on purpose so you have a detailed account of what happened to you as a Christian. And once it comes into you, from now on, you're just reaping the fruit of what's already stored up inside of you now. And it specifically says the heaven stopped. Okay, now watch this. So everyone got all that, right? We got all that so far. So now if you'll be willing to go a step further with me, the Jordan River is also the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is the same kind of account as Noah and the ark and the whole deal. All right? Like I said, reread these scriptures and stuff like that, and you'll see more of this. I'm going to have to read from the Young's Literal Translation, though, for this, and we'll see the parallel between this and how we just read, right? And Peter said that the whole ark deal, that's all a picture of baptism. Isn't it awesome? That's a teaching about baptism, and we could have known this a lot sooner as the body of Christ, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a second occurrence. We could have known a lot sooner that we don't receive things from heaven above us. We receive things from the underneath the ark. All that stuff, right? Now watch this. Young's Literal, Joshua 3:13. This is when the people are crossing the Jordan River. The Jordan River is also the Holy Spirit. Now in the ark's account, what was the Holy Spirit? The flood, right? The waters that came down. The water. Now also, let me mention this. When in Noah's account, when the flood, the Holy Spirit, came down, rained down out of heaven, it says it came down, killed the earth. Watch this. Killed the earth. And this is all very, very important, okay? Came down, killed the earth, and the waters became very mighty. Now, that's a funny word for water, right? But again, it's a great word. Because you can still read it historically and know what it's talking about, but then you see the real underlying point of what God's trying to say. Check this out. This says it in the account of Noah and the ark. It said that God poured down this water out of heaven, and the waters became very, very mighty. And that I'm trying to remember the, I think it's that it wiped out all living. All living. The word creatures, I think, is italicized there, if I'm not mistaken. It wiped out all living. And it was sent to kill the earth. Now watch this. What's that? Well, what's the flood? The Holy Spirit. So what that account is saying, if you take it literally, the flood came down, the Holy Spirit came down, he must have killed something, and the waters, the Holy Spirit, became very mighty for us. Think about this. Isn't that what happened to us? This is what we talk about. That's called circumcision. That's called circumcision. What happened when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Doesn't mean you took advantage of it right away. Doesn't mean that you saw the fruit of this right away. But you became a Holy Spirit controlled individual. At the very least, you started bearing some fruit of that at first. But God came down to kill your... That's what it is. All flesh. He said, the time has come that all flesh should die. God says in Genesis 6. The Holy Spirit, the floodwaters, came down and killed all flesh and became very mighty. That's these verses that we quote about, you know, it's not I that live, it's Christ now that lives. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he says, I have been crucified with Christ, that's not talking about 2,000 years ago, that's talking about when you received the Holy Spirit. Okay? Not everybody's been crucified with Christ. That's a term for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Read Romans 6 and check me up on that. This dying by baptism, Romans 6 talks about it, that we died by baptism. This time, when you receive the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? It means that you died and the Holy Spirit was able to take over for you now. Now, as you understand what happened to you, you see more and more evidence of the control of the Holy Spirit. But that started the day you got saved. You became a Holy Spirit-controlled individual. And there was change, manifestly even, that started in you when you first got saved. Whether you realize it or not, things started to change in you because you became a Holy Spirit-sensitive, Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-controlled individual. The Bible said that all that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that. You may not see much of the fruit of it because you try so hard to do so many things, so you end up, you know, taking his job, but he took over for you the second he came on the inside of you. You became Holy Spirit controlled. Okay? He started to become very, very mighty for you and came to do what? To kill all flesh, to wipe out all flesh, all that is living. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. That's also how the flood, that's represented by the flood. That's why the flood was given. Really, really important stuff. Now that whole process, keep in mind, that's called circumcision. Okay? Circumcision is when the Holy Spirit takes control. Circumcision of the flesh. My flesh was killed, Holy Spirit took control. Okay? Again, doesn't mean you see all the fruit of it. Just because you're a circumcised individual, just because the Holy Spirit took control, just because your flesh died as a Christian, doesn't mean you see all the fruit of that all at once. You need to understand those things and to be able to walk in those things, to be able to walk by the Spirit, okay? But that started when you got saved. Make sense? Totally makes sense, right? And that's all accounted for in Noah. The flood's purpose was to kill all flesh. The flood's purpose was to become very mighty upon the earth. Make sense? Okay, check this out. As we're reading, the word stand in the Bible. The word stand means it's active. The word sit means inactive, always. The word lay down means inactive, always. You want more verses for it? You don't want to take that for granted? I can give you more verses. When Jesus was crucified, he was laid in a tomb. And that word is important. He was laid in the tomb. And when, was it Martha or Mary? It was Martha, right? That was looking for Jesus. And she said, when she thought Jesus was the gardener, she said, "Where have they laid my Lord? Where have they laid my Lord?" And so then she turned and saw Jesus standing. Okay, those are symbolic references. The fact that he was dead, and she was looking for him dead, and she turned around and saw him standing. Why does it say that he was standing? Because he was risen, okay? And it said that there's just way more depth I could give you, but that's a pretty good start at least. "Where have they laid my Lord?" She's talking to the gardener, supposedly behind her, Jesus. "Where have they laid my Lord?" And she turns around and sees Jesus standing. Okay? Stand is alive. Sit is dead or inactive. Okay? So we get that, right? Alive and stand both mean active, operative. Dead or sitting or laying down all mean inactive. There's a ton of verses for that. I'll give you one more. The Bible says in Hebrews, all the Old Testament priests stand daily ministering. But this one, when he had made one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Difference of priesthood. The first priesthood in the Old Testament, they are constantly ministering to try to take care of sin, and it never worked. They stand. They're operative daily. Why do they stand? Is it literally because every time they offered a sacrifice because they were always standing up? The word stand is talking about operative. They're always operative, daily, every single day ministering, trying to atone for sin. But this one, Jesus, after he had made one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down and in operation forever. That's very important. Stand daily ministering, this one sat down, okay? Stand is operative, sit down is always, always, always inoperative. Let's read about the Jordan River, okay? Keep all that in mind. Put on the shelf for now. Jordan River. "And it hath been at the resting of the soles of the feet of the priests." I don't know who the priests are right now at the very, very moment. And I don't know exactly what the resting of the soles of the feet mean. But I know there's some kind of resting that's gone on here, okay? The priests were the first ones to cross the Jordan River. And all it's saying right now is their feet, the soles of their feet had to rest first, okay? I'm not going to jump to conclusions about this. You shouldn't either. So, just mentioning that. "Bearing the Ark of Jehovah, the Lord of all the earth, in the waters of the Jordan. And the waters of the Jordan are cut off." And the word "are" here, it's just interesting. I don't believe the word "are" here is actually in the text. Okay? One evidence of this is that you can't click the word "are." Okay? If you have a Strong's Bible on your phone or on your iPad or electronic device, I would encourage you to get one of those. It's not a must, but it's cool though. You read it? What does that word really mean? Click it. You challenge the translators by checking up on them. What does it really mean? You don't have to know I don't even understand all the jibber jabber that they have in between all the things, but you get a general idea of what the word means, okay, is the point. It's not important. You don't even need to be a scholar to understand this. You don't even need to be a scholar to know that I try to click the word R and you can't click the word R, okay? So at least in this manuscript, the word "are" is obviously not in the text, because you try to click it and there's no Hebrew or Greek, or rather in this context, Hebrew word for it. So technically it actually says, is the waters of the Jordan cut off? Okay? This is an interesting thing, that the waters of the Jordan cut off. There was a cutting off, it says, in reference to the waters of the Jordan. I'll explain myself in a second. Let's read it like that. The waters of the Jordan cut off. Dash. The waters which are coming down from above, and they stand one heap. Pause for a second. Okay. I am going to explain this to you, okay? I don't expect you to just get that just because I read it. So where are we here in verse 13, end of verse 13. Look at this. You're going to notice a reference to what we just said about the ark and all that. It says that the Lord of all the earth is in the waters of Jordan. First of all, note the word Jordan. Again, I didn't study Greek or Hebrew in school. Just click the word and you can see it right there. The word Jordan means descender. Okay? It means descender. It means he came down. Okay? The waters of the Jordan, and you're going to see that that is the Holy Spirit. The waters of the Jordan are, or if you take that out, the waters of the Jordan cut off, because if you read it without the word are, which again, I don't believe is in the text, the waters of the Jordan, they cut off. So it's saying that the waters of the Jordan, therefore, was doing the cutting. You kind of get where I'm coming from? If you read this symbolically, let me pause for a second. Okay. You may be like, yeah, but no. What that's saying is that the waters of the Jordan were cut off so that they could cross the Jordan River. You guys realize that, right? Like, that's actually literally what happened. It's saying, if you read it literally, the waters of the Jordan were cut off so that they can cross. Like, it was the waters that were cut off. But when you're reading it symbolically, you have to read everything symbolically. This is no longer, you're not reading about the people of Israel anymore. You're not reading about Canaan anymore. You're not reading about the Jordan River anymore. We're reading about the Holy Spirit now. Every single thing that you read now is symbolic now. So you kind of get where I'm coming from with that. I'm sure there's a lot of people that aren't like used to reading the Bible that way, okay? And you can, okay? So it doesn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter what happened in that day. None of that matters. You're reading it symbolically, okay? So when you're reading it symbolically, everything is symbolic. Nothing means what it meant literally. It's a different mouth now. God's saying something totally different. So literally, it's saying the waters of the Jordan cut something off. If you catch me, if you kind of catch my drift there. The waters of the Jordan cut off. And what is it called, the Jordan River? Dash. The waters which are coming down from above. You see what it called the Jordan River there, right? The waters which come down from above. The waters come down from above. Now, if you're reading it literally, it probably just meant like upstream. Right? Like the waters were coming down from somewhere upstream or something like that. But you see, again, we're reading it symbolically. This is not the waters of the Jordan River we're reading about. This is the Holy Spirit. And it's really evident. The people were being baptized in some kind of water. First of all, the word is Jordan, which means descender. It's coming down from above. And I'm getting to my point here, and I'm going to speed this up. The waters come down from above. Sounds like the flood, right? The flood, which it was rained down out of heaven to circumcise the earth so the waters could become mighty. And he could cut off your flesh, kill your flesh. And what does it say? The waters of the Jordan cut off. The waters of the Jordan were cutting off. The waters that come down from above, that is. That's what it's saying. The waters of the Jordan, again, that word "are" is not there, cut off. The waters, that is, which are coming down from above. And they stand. The waters stand. One heap. Now the word "heap" is not important right now. You see what it's saying, right? The waters of the Jordan cut off. That's talking about the death of all flesh. Cut off your flesh. Cut off your flesh doesn't mean your flesh came off. The cutting away of the flesh is talking about the cutting away, the circumcision of the flesh. In other words, the operation of the flesh. That your flesh has died now. Your flesh no longer has to work now. You have a freedom from work now. You have an in operation. A rest now given to you because now God's here now. Now your flesh can rest now. In Noah's time, the way that account goes is the floods came down and wiped out all that was living, and it became mighty. This says that the waters came down and cut something off, and now the waters stand. Everybody sees that, right? The waters are now what? They're now operative now for us. Here's my point. This is talking about baptism. The Jordan River. This is why John the Baptist, when he came baptizing, and he even said, in not so many words, his baptism was a baptism that was a precursor to the real baptism that was going to come. He said, I baptize with water, but one's coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. His baptism itself was a picture of Jesus coming baptism. And where did he baptize? In the Jordan River, in the descending river. That's the Holy Spirit. Not the literal river, but it's a picture. This is a picture. You're reading about the waters that came down from above. That's why he's called Jordan. A while ago, the Bible, because the Bible says Jordan River, well, let me not even go into that. The Jordan River is the waters, the river that comes down from above. And guess what? When you were baptized, the Jordan River literally came out from above, cut off your flesh, and now he stands. One heap. You see that? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the replacement. The cutting off of the flesh, and then now he stands. Okay? Circumcision. Last thing, and then I'm going to close up. You know what happens right after this? You know what happens right after this? Let me show you. Chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. They just crossed the Jordan River, okay? This is two chapters after what we just read, and it accounts for the whole baptism deal up until now. At that time, said Jehovah unto Joshua, make for you knives of flint, and turn back, circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. Okay? There is symbolism to all the things that he just said. But he said, Joshua makes for him knives of flint, and circumcise the son of Israel at the height of the foreskins. Okay? Do you see what just happened? They cross the Jordan River, and on the other side, they're circumcised. They're uncircumcised. Check it out. They're uncircumcised. They cross the Jordan River. The waters come down from above and cut off. And the waters now stand one heap. And they get to the other side and they're circumcised. Like, that's like slapping you in the face, kind of evident what that's talking about. Right? Circumcision, in other words, the death of our flesh and the control of the Holy Spirit is what it is, happened when you were baptized, when you were first saved. Okay? Now, here's my real point, okay? And this is going to be really, I believe with all my heart right now that, Father, I pray that you would make this evident in everybody's heart so that they're in agreement, Lord, with what's said, so that we're not ever divided in what's about to be said. So, Father, I pray that we would all come to an agreement in the things that are going to be said. Thank you, Father. So we have the circumcision, right? I mean, this is, again, it just said that in Noah and the flood, the waters came down first, rained down, in other words, descended, right? The waters descended first. Once the waters descended, all flesh was killed. It actually says cut off. You know when God makes the covenant with the rainbow? He says, I will no longer cut off all flesh. Cut off all flesh. So the waters, let's say it like it is, right, with the account of the ark. The waters descend. They cut off all flesh. It says that in Genesis chapter 9, I believe. The waters come down. They cut off all flesh. The waters now stand and become mighty for you. And now the ark can rest now upon the high heavens that it has on the inside of them. And now the high heavens just manifest out of them. Now the heavens above us are closed off. We don't need anything more from the heavens above us. There's no more rain. God will never send that rain again. He never has to send that rain again because now we have everything we need inside of us, inside the ark. The ark rests now and all the heavens on the inside of us can work through us. The tops of the mountains become seen. Make sense? Okay, the heavens become seen. This is saying the same thing. The Jordan River. If you were to actually... Notice the word Jordan isn't... It's a transliteration. Okay, they don't actually translate it. The word Jordan is a transliteration. That just basically means... Transliteration is like when they... It's not a Bible word. Transliteration is like when they... Okay, like for instance, the word Michael is Hebrew. Okay? Michael is a transliteration. If you were to actually translate the word Michael from Hebrew, it means who is like the Lord. Okay? So you would be calling me who is like the Lord. Who is like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? Michael is a transliteration. If you were to translate the meaning from Hebrew to English, it means who is like the Lord. A transliteration is basically like the English version of the Hebrew word. Okay? Catch that? Jordan is the English version of the Hebrew word. If you were to actually translate this, if this is a translation, it would say the descending river. The descending river. And they cross the descending river. And the waters that come down from above, they cut off and yada yada yada, right? This is the same thing. Noah and the flood, all this happened, rain came down, whole deal. This is saying the same thing. Waters came down, just the same, right? Now check this out. Something really cool happened. Notice how in the Ark's account, the water comes down out of heaven. It pours down out of heaven. The heavens were opened at first, but then the heavens came down, and now the heavens are underneath the Ark, underneath Noah and his household, right? You get that? Underneath Noah and his household. And they don't need the stuff from above them anymore, so we can stop singing about those things in praise and worship now, right? But Holy Spirit, come and let your glory fall and all this kind of stuff, right? Because God's not going to do that anymore, and the Bible says it. Now you have a verse for it. You say, well, that's not a real... Yeah, it's a real verse for it. Just because it's symbolic and most people don't get it because they don't listen to Jesus doesn't mean that... if you never got that, I'm not saying you're not listening to Jesus, but you're never going to get that if you don't listen to Jesus, you know? And it's a, that's a verse for it. All the heavens were cut off. The flow from heaven was cut off. Now watch this. This is actually said the same thing. Initially, the Jordan River is what? It descends. That's why it's called the Jordan River, the descending river. When you were first baptized, you were circumcised by the Holy Spirit. He came down to you, circumcised your flesh, and he stood up. He became operative for you. Circumcision, right? Hence why all the people that crossed the Jordan River were circumcised on the other side, right? You saw the same thing with the ark. The waters came down first. You see the same thing here. The Jordan descending river. The waters that come down from above. But you know what happened though? Look what happens. Keep reading. Same chapter. Can you go to Joshua 5? And I'm closing here. Joshua 5. Let's read from verse 10. Keep all this in mind. They're just circumcised. The waters just came down from above for them. And watch this. And I'm closing here. And the sons of Israel encamp in Gilgal. Gilgal means rolling away, which is significant if we had more time, but that's a rolling away. That's actually referring to the circumcision. Okay? The rolling away, that's another word for circumcision in the Old Testament. The rolling away of the flesh. I don't know why rolling, but that's what it means. That's why he calls it Gilgal. Because after they got circumcised, God said, I have now rolled away your reproach, your disgrace from off of you, your flesh. I have circumcised you now. Right after they were circumcised, he said, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt, the reproach of the Gentiles, the reproach of this world, Gentiles, from off of you. Hence they called it Gilgal, where they were circumcised. And when they encamped in Gilgal, referring to their circumcision, they ate of the old corn. Check this out. They just got baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? The whole circumcision deal. They just got baptized. The water just came down. But now, after the waters come down for them, the Jordan River, the descending river, they now they eat of the old corn of the land. And I'll explain. The old corn of the land on the morrow of the Passover, unleavened things and roasted corn in the selfsame day. Then the manna does cease on the morrow in their eating of the old corn of the land. And there has been no more manna to the sons of Israel. And they eat the increase or the fruit of the land of Canaan in that year. And this is what we have to be in agreement about, okay? And you may not see this right now, but this is what we have to be in agreement about. Check this out. Manna had been raining down from them, often upon them, okay? Even before you get saved, and even in the Old Testament, that's what happened. The Holy Spirit would come often upon them, okay? Read about it in Hebrews 6. Before even you get saved, in Hebrews chapter 6, it said that you can drink of the rain that falls often on you, okay? Sorry. It's not called drinking. That's salvation. But the water does fall often upon people that are learning. Even people in the Old Testament learned the Lord, but they never baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it fell often upon them. They received things from the Holy Spirit. That's the manna, okay? Under Moses, they received manna. Under Moses, they received manna, and it fell often upon them. But once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the descending river comes down, puts that stuff inside of you now, the rain stops. The rain stopped. You see that? The second they received the Holy Spirit, the rain stopped. You don't need the rain anymore. Remember the ark? The ark was baptized in the Holy Spirit. God opened the heavens to them. Bam, poured it down. Now all the high heavens came down. Now they're underneath all the heavens. Now they're covered up underneath the ark now, us. And now guess what? Guess what God does? No more from heaven. What did he do? The descending river came down, baptized the people. The people were circumcised. Now all that high heavens on the inside of them. All that provision, I should say, is on the inside of them. Manna closed off, and they ate no more of the manna, which rained, again, the word is rain in the Bible. It rained down on them. No more though. They never ate manna again. Just like you'll never drink from heaven again. Just like in the flood, the rain stopped, the rain ceased. Why? Because all of it's inside of you now. But watch this. Keep in mind, they were just baptized, right? The manna ceased. So in other words, the rain, that life from heaven, manna is like that life from heaven. You don't receive life from heaven above you. Okay? That stopped. And it says it right there. But watch this. But what happened now in verse 11? This is the important part. And they now eat of the old corn. Now, I don't know why they say old. Don't ask me why. Look at the word for yourself. And if we... I have a couple minutes. I might as well do it. I want you guys to see this for yourself. So if you bear with me, just this one more thing here. Click verse 11, please. And can you go to the KJV with the plus? And can you hover over the word old corn, the 4480? You see, it's the same. It's the same word as whatever that word is, H5668. It means past, that is kept over. It's used only of stored grain in the Bible, but the word does not mean grain, and the word does not mean old. The word means stored. Okay? You see, this is a good example. You click that word in the Strong's Bible, and you see, look. Now, in the Bible, it's only ever used when it's talking about corn or grain. So that's why they translate it old corn. Old corn, I don't know why they translate it old. But the word just means storage, okay? So you can go back up to KJV, the regular one, and I'm done right here. Now they eat of the stored. You see that, right? They eat of the stored now. The manna stops the second you're baptized. Remember, the rain stopped the second the Holy Spirit came down on the ark. You have it in you now. It stops. It stops immediately. The rain will stop in reference to the ark. Now, what? The tops of the mountains that the ark's sitting on are merely manifest. It says this in the Bible. The tops of the mountains were seen. That means manifest. What mountains? Talking about the heavens underneath us, the ark, are now just manifest. In other words, we're eating of what's in storage now, of what's stored, that's what it says, kept or stored. We're eating of what's stored. Now you may say that the word corn is okay to put in there, but not really though. If anything, it should be italicized because you just read for yourself, right? You see, we just challenged the translators. It doesn't mean corn. It means storage. It's only ever used of corn, so they put the word corn there. But it means storage. It means kept or past. Was the word past? I think it means past or kept over in storage. Okay? The manna ceased and they ate of the stored. Now if you said corn, I guess if it's italicized, but now they eat of what is stored of the land. And that land is talking about the world to come, Canaan. The world to come is now on the inside of us in storage. That's not important for what we're talking about right now, but that is what it's talking about. Okay? We eat of what's stored up inside of us. The land stored up inside of us is literally what it's talking about. Now we don't need from the manna rain down on us. Okay? That stops when you get baptized, because baptism means I'm in there forever now. Why do you need me to rain something down from heaven? I'm in you forever now. Now they eat of the stored. That's exactly what it means, right? I'm not adding a word to it. You saw it for yourself. I'm not adding any words to that. It should be translated stored. That's exactly what it didn't mean. Notice there too, lots of words have different meanings too. That doesn't even have different meanings. It just always means stored. Now we eat of the stored, and the manna will stop. Now watch this. Okay, can you scroll up just a tiny tad? The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the stored of the land, or the stored land. You eat, you receive of a stored land. In other words, underneath you, neither the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The manna ceased, and they did eat of the fruit or the harvest of the land of Canaan that year.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.